So we're asking, we're asking Kamala Harris's office to get involved and to do something about the fact that they've been detaining a minor.
Well, we'll certainly continue to follow Hamid's story. Mario Villarreal is an attorney representing Hamid pro bono with Pangea Legal Services, an immigrant defense organization based in San Francisco. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is accepting applications for our paid video production fellowships, as well as a variety of paid internships. You can find out more at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, Trina Ndura, Nat Needham, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, and Paul Huckabee. I'll be speaking at University of California, Santa Cruz on May 17th with Dan Ellsberg. Check our website. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
In 2014, one in 68 kids in the U.S. was diagnosed with autism. In 2016, it increased by 15% to 1 in 59. Diagnoses have come as early as 4 years old. Worst of all, about 50,000 teens with autism age out of school-based support programs every year. Autism Speaks has information on this and more. Log on to autismspeaks.org or call 888-288-4762. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
You can always come up with an excuse for not visiting longtermcare.gov.
Oh, I forgot. Game night.
After all, who wants to admit that one day they will be, you know, old?
Hey, do you see any crow's feet on this face? I don't.
But since 70% of older Americans need some kind of long-term care, why not do some free planning now so you can stay in charge? Visit longtermcare.gov and find your own path forward.
I believe that the flying saucers are objects from another planet.
The Navy has no saucer-shaped aircraft or missile.
There's no good reason for keeping this secret for 3 decades.
The government's been lying about UFOs for 50 years.
What is that?
Oh, okay.
5, 6, 7 light.
Have you guys ever seen anything like this before?
That's one object.
Whoa!
That's definitely not a plane. What do you think that was?
I'm David Twitchell, the host of We Are Not Alone. Celebrating its 12th year on WHFR, join me the first Tuesday of each month at 1 p.m. when scientists and ufologists from around the world share their latest evidence in support of the UFO phenomenon. That's the first Tuesday of each month at 1 p.m. We are not alone.
Listeners supported. Non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views and opinions expressed on the new WHFR Journal are those of the hosts, producers, and guests, not necessarily those of WHFR, its licensee Henry Ford College, or its Board of Trustees. Enjoy.
Good afternoon and welcome to the new WHFR Journal here at 89.3, also online at WHFR.fm. That's WHFR Making Waves. I'm Alan Mazurek. Susan McGraw is with us this Friday afternoon. Good afternoon. Good to see you.
Good afternoon. Likewise. Friday.
We got the grown-ups out of here last week with commencement and spent a lot of time talking about that on the program. But now we've got, of course, obviously students still taking classes in spring and summer. But we want to start off this program talking about, in just a moment, about bringing some of the young kids onto campus over, here at HFC in a couple of weeks. But we've got more things to talk about as well.
We sure do. A little bit later on in the program, we're going to be joined by Daniel Lodge, who is a librarian, one of adult services at the Dearborn's Henry Ford Centennial Library. Some really cool authors coming into Dearborn, and there will be an opportunity for you to check out them doing some live reading from their books and a little interview opportunity, and that's coming up this next week. And then also, I think we're going to hear from, it's sort of a reading and writing is sort of the theme, I guess, right now. And that will be a discussion with a friend of ours, a very close comrade here at Henry Ford College, and that's Dr. Peter Kim. He is the advisor for the Mirror News, and we'll also talk about the journalism program. So lots of opportunities for your children, grandchildren, or even you to get involved and kind of have some fun in one of the creative arts. So we look forward to that.
We do look forward to it indeed. What I was referring to when we talk about having the young ones on the campus, of course, is the summer tradition that is Camp Henry here at Henry Ford College, which is a series of camps called STEAM camps that provide hands-on learning activities in specific areas: science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, that it gives kids and teens an early start in exploring some of the the truly in-demand career paths that we also tend to highlight here in our academic programs.
Yeah, this sure is the time, I know, where a lot of parents of the younger kids are looking to sign their children up for some special activities and opportunities during the summer season. And why not get involved in something that they're going to learn as well as have a great deal of fun? And we look forward to what I'm told is the busiest season this year for the Camp Henrys. In other words, they're offering more opportunities, more different creative outlets than ever before for our young people. And it's not just little kids. You know, we go all the way. Some of the camps start at 6 or 7 years old, and many of them go up to the senior year of high school. So different topics for different students and different age groups. But boy, it seems like there's something for everyone this time around, Alan.
And there are a variety of camps, and they run pretty much throughout the summer. There are some that start up in mid-June, I think, is one of the earlier ones that deals with the culinary arts. I think that's June 18th to 21st for middle and high schoolers. It's Camp 5101 Culinary Camp. And then they run pretty much through the end of July, it seems like, in a variety of different subject areas. Environmental science and biology, forensic scientists or sciences, Cyber Patriot Camp. There's also an astronomy camp, a gadget camp, and those are primarily in the STEM area, science, technology. What does EDE stand for?
Engineering.
Engineering and math. For some reason, I always draw a blank on that one. There's obviously a couple of culinary arts camps, including baking skills and a more well-rounded culinary camp, which deals with some of the fundamentals, such as safety, sanitation, and more. Sports camps also take place throughout the course of the summer, featuring softball, volleyball, baseball, and basketball. And I think the wrestling camp was actually, there's a wrestling training center that continues through mid-June, but has already started as of, mid-April or so. There's also lots of camps that deal with arts and entertainment, including one that's going to actually be right here in these studios, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. It's the HFC Media Camp. Last year, we called it the Telecommunication Camp, but nobody knew what that meant. So we said, well, we'll call it what it is. We'll just call it Media Camp. And this is an opportunity to have a lot of fun and learn about the world of media. So there will be discussions and hands-on related to film, television, our radio station, of course, storytelling, news delivery. We're going to write scripts. We're going to do voiceover work. We're going to do interviews, character exploration, and then really have a chance to jump in and actually create. And that's what's most exciting to me. So this really is sort of a sampling of many of the courses that we offer throughout the school year through the telecommunication program. But it's an opportunity for younger students to kind of explore it, see if they're interested. They're going to get their hands on cameras and microphones, and it just, I think, is going to prove to be a very successful event. We had a great time for our inaugural year last year, and boy, the students kept us. I was exhausted by the end of the week, I'm telling you, but it was so much fun. And that takes place July 23rd through the 26th, so that's the third full week of July, and it's available and open to middle school and high school students. And what a great group we had last time. Looking forward to another good group this time around, because the people that we engage today will be the radio broadcasters of the future, and maybe sitting here in this station down the road sometime.
We look forward to that. And then, of course, other camps that are going to be coming up in other areas of the arts, dealing with ceramics, dance. There's also art around the world and art, different types of art making and techniques, exploring Middle Eastern, African folk art, Japanese prints, and more. Acting camps, graphic design camps, a whole bunch of stuff. It's available, more information is available on the HFC website, hfcc.edu. if you search for Camp Henry, there is a full listing of everything. And yeah, you never know. We might get some free labor out of that media camp, some new station IDs or promotional announcements that'll get recorded.
I like the way you think. Most of the camps do have some type of a fee that is involved, and some of them are very low in terms of the, you know, not really needing to have investment in materials or things like that. So they go anywhere from like $10, $50, $85, all the way up to about $200. But, you know, the students get something out of it. They not only get the experience, and we keep them busy, certainly, but also in most cases, when there's a higher cost involved, they get their T-shirt, or in our situation, we end up giving them a DVD with their little portfolio that they've worked on throughout the week. So there's something coming out of it, no doubt about it, and a nice way to just sort of try something new or hone some skills that you already are working with at home. And I'll tell you, Alan, many of our campers from last year not only did our camp, but they sort of spaced it out throughout the summer. So I know that we've got students that are taking, for example, the acting camp, and then the graphic design camp, and then the you know, the media camp, and then they round it out with some you know, astronomy or something. So you don't have to just pick one, I guess we'll put it that way.
Well, and I was going to say, most of the camps and hours do vary, you know, between from camp to camp and subject to subject, but most of them tend to start sometime mid-morning, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and run through mid-afternoon and maybe even a little bit later. Some of the sports camps are, you know, half day, because you're not going to spend 8 hours necessarily competing in the hot sun, so they tend to run a little shorter. For more information, you can call for information on Camp Henry. It's at 313-317-6616. That's 313-317-6616.
You got it. Ledgar Johnson is the project manager for this. This is her first time taking over this project, and she is just fantastic, and I know she'll answer any questions that you might have regarding registering. And registration is officially open, so as Alan mentioned, now would be the time to call that number. If you'd like to check out some of the items that we've just discussed, you can go to the website, Henry Ford Community College, or Henry Ford College website, hfcc.edu, and just in the search bar, just search Camp Henry, and you'll find everything you need to know. And we look forward to seeing you at our one of our summer camps this time around.
All right, sounds good. Well, let's take just a brief break, and then we'll continue on this edition of the new WHFR Journal. Coming up next, we'll talk about some activities going on at Centennial Library here in Dearborn. Stay with us.
A very important key in keeping a healthy lifestyle is fitness. Why not condition yourself as well as your mind here at Henry Ford College? The Health and Physical Education curriculum offers both a 2-year Associate's in Applied Science as well as a certificate program, both offering a wide variety of courses including exercise physiology, nutrition, and physical conditioning. For more information, you can call 313-845-6318 or on the web at hfcc.edu/programs.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing on a summer night. It's pajamas with feet and everybody over for Sunday dinner. And that old stuffed chair in the living room you just can't get rid of. This is why you work a second job. This is why you learn to fix things yourself so you could save on repairs. Because home is your place, your memories, your family sleeping in their own beds at night. And that is why we want to help. We are Making Home Affordable, a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. And now even more options are available. Call 888-995-HOPE today. That's 888-995-HOPE. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Thanks for being with us. This is the new WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw here, along with a slightly congested and a little bit coffee Ellen Missouri.
Pay no attention to that man coughing in the background. It's allergy season.
Oh, I feel so badly for him. I'm so sorry. Well, one thing, you know, it's that sort of fate kind of a thing, I guess. We had an interview scheduled for today's show. That one got canceled at the very last minute. In the same time frame, literally, I was looking on my computer, got some really interesting messages images from the Henry Ford Centennial Library. So we placed a quick call, and then they placed a quick call, and lo and behold, we have Daniel Lodge, Librarian 1, Adult Services, on the line with us to talk about some really fascinating and very timely upcoming events. So Daniel, thank you for being available on such short notice.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to join you on your program.
Oh, terrific. Well, we would love to get just some basic, brief information about the Centennial Library first, and then at that point, how about we go into some of the specifics of what's coming up?
Okay. Well, the Dearborn Public Library has the main library here at the Henry Ford Centennial Library, and we have some branches, the Bryant Branch on Michigan Avenue and the Esper Branch on Warren Avenue, just east of Schaefer, and we're a great library. We love to serve the Dearborn area.
Yeah, well, we always hear good things coming out of the facility and opportunities for people that don't have easy access to some resources to get in and do so. Also an opportunity to sort of socialize with some special activities that are going on. And a couple of the events I want to talk about today involve that very thing. So first of all, let's talk a little bit about this Dear Fahrenheit 451 author coming in to speak this coming Tuesday on May the 15th. Tell us a little bit about this. I know it's award-winning author Annie Spence coming in on Tuesday, but this is a fascinating story, to say the least. So what's happening with this?
Well, yeah, she has been writing breakup letters to books, where different books that could range from, Fahrenheit 451 to romance novels, to anything in the library. She works as a librarian, so she sort of coined the phrase, she writes what she knows. Mm-hmm. And it's a fascinating. I've really enjoyed the book because it's in writing these letters, she provides great insight, great feeling into what she liked about the books. And also, it's almost like a great, the book is like almost a great reader's advisory service, because you almost, by reading the letters, you almost like get the sense of what the book is about, and maybe you want to try it. So that's the appeal. That's one reason that I was thinking, hey, let's get her here, let's, she'll be talking about the book, probably about the different reasons why she went into wrote the letters, and it'd be fascinating talk, just for the sense that you may discover a new author you like.
Interesting. I know a little bit from the press release here. It talks about how she's been composing letters to books in her head, as it says, for years, on the job as a public librarian in the Midwest, in her own home, and even secretly, it says, at cocktail parties. And these are love letters, as you indicated, to some of the classics, and some breakup notes to things like Twilight and The Goldfinch, and apologies to books that aren't all that good, frankly. And then now the opportunity to have these all put together in her own words, again, Dear Fahrenheit 451. I love the title, by the way. The second part of the title is Love and Heartbreak in the Stacks, and that's really cool.
Yeah.
I understand it's apparently, again, some favorites and some books that maybe not many people will even know exist. So as you indicated, Dan, an opportunity to be introduced to something perhaps for the first time, and that's always exciting. It's one of the benefits of the library. She also, as the release states, has this relationship with books, and she examines human type of books, heartbreak and romance, marriage, sisterhood, family, and also the celebration of librarians and libraries and reading on its own, which is awesome and something we always want to encourage, not only as a college and a library, but as citizens, for crying out loud. So have you had the chance to read the book yet, Dan?
Yeah, I've read some of them, and I really enjoyed a lot of the different letters or different chapters in the book. It's she writes with a lot of feeling, a lot of emotion, and you feel that, and you relate to it, and you really enjoy it.
Nice. For someone that hasn't been to either the Centennial Library for a book reading, or any library for that matter, for a book reading by an author, exactly what should guests expect? And I understand that this is free of charge.
Oh, yes, of course, free of charge. The program will be next Tuesday on the 15th at 6:30. It'll be in the library's auditorium, which is on the first floor, right as you come in, either the south or the north door, main south or north door. You come on in. We'll have a bookstore selling copies of her book. She can, after her talk, she'll have books for sale, copies of the book for sale that she'll sign afterwards. And it'd be just great conversation. And really wanted to reach out to the Henry Ford College community because I thought it'd be really appealing to them.
Yeah, I agree. And I could have used her 5 years ago when I was composing a breakup letter. She sounds like she's probably maybe she's for hire. I don't know. I'm kidding.
It really is a fascinating a concept of a story, because I mean that is in a sense how we relate to books. You think of something that you might have read when you were younger that you were. And in the same way with music, I think, to a certain extent, that you were totally enamored with, totally in love with. It was everything in the world to you. And then you come back at it at some point in your life, and you're like, what did I really see in that book, or in that piece of music, or there's other analogies there as well, right?
Yeah, excellent, excellent. That's the kind of thing in the letters, that she looks back at some of the books that she's read when she was young and was like, why? Or what did I see in them?
And even in that, it's a little bittersweet probably at times too, because maybe there are still some endearing qualities.
Right.
Well, it sounds fascinating. And again, that's this coming Tuesday, May 15th. Dan, do people need to call ahead or reserve a seat or anything to show up?
No, not with this program.
Okay, easy enough.
Happy to see their smiling faces.
Very nice. Well, we encourage, of course, our listeners to do so. So going from, I think, excitingly sort of breakup and love and all that kind of stuff, the logical connection to that for me is food, frankly, and I think it just works for me. And then, so the following Tuesday, we're going to get through the emotional state, and then we're going to talk baked stuff and bakehouse and cookbooks. And we've got the Zingerman's Bakehouse Cookbook being a part of this. Amy Emberling and Frank Carollo, they are, Michigan notable book authors, and they will be talking about recipes and behind-the-scenes stories about Zingerman's institution. Zingerman's really is an institution. So tell us about what we can expect here, and will they be bringing samples is my big question.
Oh, yes. I specifically, funny story, this is through the Michigan Notable Book Author Tour, and we went back and forth. We were assigned the author by a staff member at the Library of Michigan, and so it got the okay that Amy and Frank will be coming, and my coworker says, "I think I'm bringing samples," and I was like, I didn't want to push it. So I wrote them back, wrote Amy and Frank back, and Amy writes back, "Do you want samples?"
Woo-hoo.
And I said, "Yes, please."
Well, we'll take them, that's for sure. So this is going to be another opportunity to get up close and personal with some authors, in this case, some local authors. And it really, when we talk about sort of the institution, the brand of Zingerman's, it's not just great food, great snacks, great service, but great teamwork as well. And I think people often don't think about that. So I'm hoping that, although this is the cookbook component, I hope that when they get into the discussion, they'll talk a little bit about the process of teamwork and inclusion and so on, which Zingerman's is certainly most noted for here in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what they would be talking about, but I would imagine they would be talking about the recipes, how they develop them. And also, yeah, like you said, they're very famous for good customer service. And hopefully, I imagine that they would touch on that in their talk.
Nice. And again, this is then Tuesday, the 22nd. So this coming Tuesday, we've got the Dear Fahrenheit 451. The following Tuesday, the 22nd, also at 6:30 at the Henry Ford Centennial Library, we have the Zingerman's Bakehouse Cookbook as a part of the Michigan Notable Book Author Talk. And both events are free at the Centennial Library on Michigan Avenue here in Dearborn. If someone wants more information about either of these events, and we'll give you an opportunity, Dan, and minute to talk about anything else that you might want to share or brag about that's going on in the library. Sure. But how can they get more information, details, or just reach out and connect to the library directly?
Well, you can always visit our website, dearbornlibrary.org, and then you can always call us here at the library. The main number is 313-943-2330, and you can always stop by and ask. We'll be glad to help.
Very good. We often think, you know, we've just had graduation last weekend at the college, and a lot of schools are going to be letting out, grade schools, high schools, very soon. And so maybe the library is one of the last places students want to be. But boy, there's so much to be had and so much offered at our local libraries, in particular here in the city of Dearborn, that when, you know, after that second week of summer vacation, when they start to get a little bit bored, maybe this is the place that they should check back in. Do you see that happening very often in the summer season?
Yeah. Well, maybe that would be a good segue talk about what's happening in the summer. The summer reading program theme is Libraries Rock. And to the Henry Ford chorus and jazz fusion vocal groups will be performing here as part of it in July.
Very nice. Very nice. Will that information be available on the website for people to check out?
Soon.
Okay.
It'll be probably closer to the date, like maybe probably mid-June.
Great.
So that would be, if any students want to take advantage or check it out, we'd love to have you.
That's cool. In terms of the types of events that might be going on at the local library, beyond just coming in, checking out books, looking at books, sitting around reading books, working on the computer, what are some other reasons that members of the community come over to your library?
Well, you can, we say if you need help with a computer program, we'd be glad to help. If you need we have tech time on Fridays from 2 to 4. If you have specific questions about, how do I work this program, or why isn't my phone working the way I want it, then we can give it a whirl, give it a try. We'll do our best to get you going and get you on your way.
Very good. Boy, with our phone system here at the radio station, we could have used you guys about a month ago, but I'm teasing, but we're getting better. I'm sure they don't come out for house calls, right?
Right.
No.
I know. Doesn't hurt to ask, just like those free samples, right? Well, we have gotten, I think, a great deal of information about what's coming up very, very soon here at the public library, and in particular the Henry Ford Centennial Library here in Dearborn. So, Daniel, we thank you for your time. Can you share some hours of the library's availability being open to the public during the spring term?
Yeah, let's see. We've got the main library here. It's open Monday through Friday, 9:30 through Thursday, 9:30 to 8:30, pardon me, and Friday and Saturday, 9:30 to 5:30, and then Sundays during the school year, we're open 1 to 5, so after Memorial Day, we'll be closed on Sundays. Then our branches are open 11 to 7 on Monday and Tuesday, 11 to 5:30 Wednesday and Thursday, closed on Fridays, and open 11 to 5:30 on Saturdays.
ample opportunity to come in and explore what's going on at the library. So we thank you again for your time today. Hope it's a wonderfully successful spring season for you. Congratulations on acquiring these two guest author opportunities. And we certainly encourage our listeners to participate in any way they can to keep the support of this wonderful library system going. So Dan Lodge, we thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. And want to encourage your students and their families to come on in and take a look at what we have to offer.
Very good. Well, couldn't have said it better. So Dan Lodge, Librarian 1, Adult Services at the Henry Ford Centennial Library. Lots of exciting upcoming events, and we've got more to talk about right here on the new WHFR Journal as well. So stay with us, won't you?
This is Phil Mack. Join me this Monday night, May 14th at 8 p.m. for a very special primetime thematic in-studio performance by local rockers, the Scott Martin Band. The guys are tuning up for some summer concerts and are stopping by to rock out and trade some music stories. They might even have one about Radio Caroline. Or maybe how they put their pen to paper to write a song. Or possibly find out about how bands are just like girlfriends. No matter what, I know they have a story about this song. So Monday night on Primetime Thematic at 8 p.m., tune in to find out just what is the Scott Martin Band story.
Start your exciting career as a surgical technologist now. Henry Ford College has a two-year program with a 98% employment rate. Job offers are up by 24% all over the United States. You'll graduate with an associate degree and hands-on surgical experience. Prepare for fall 2018 enrollment and call a health career advisor today at 313-317-6845.
Welcome to the new WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw here. It's my pleasure to be joined in studio at this time with Peter Kim, Dr. Peter Kim, who is a journalism instructor here at Henry Ford College and also the advisor for the Mirror News, our award-winning campus and community newspaper out of Henry Ford College. Pete, I'm so glad you're here today to have a little bit of time to talk about what's going on with the Mirror newspaper, some new things related to journalism at Henry Ford, and opportunities for our community to get involved. So thank you for being here and welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be able to share some of this information. The newspaper, as you mentioned, is award-winning. In the past 3 years combined, we've gotten 57 awards with the Michigan Community College Press Association. Very proud of that fact. And this year, we're very fortunate to have had an award-winning editor who won the Journalist of the Year. So I'm very proud of that as well. The opportunities for students to get involved in the paper, there's multiple levels of involvement. There's staff positions. As vacancies become available, those get advertised. There's also co-op opportunities through the Career Services Office. There's also volunteer opportunities through the Honors Program. And then there's also freelance opportunities. And we're very proud to be able to pay freelancers per piece. So if you are able to get one of your submissions published in the print edition, you will have the opportunity to also get some freelance income that way. We also have a robust journalism certificate program that has been recently streamlined to make it much more efficient without necessarily detracting from all the wonderful skills and talents of the students that they're able to display through this program. So in the certificate, students will get introduction to news writing, advanced news writing. They'll also get introduction to telecommunications, tripping over my own words, as well as audio and video production opportunities. As well as other writing opportunities. And all this can be combined with, if they decide to do work on the newspaper, they can also get credit for that. And the goal is to hopefully be able to have students achieve through this program within a year. So within two semesters, they can accomplish all the requirements of the program.
Wow. That's an awful lot. The word I keep hearing over and over is opportunity. And it certainly sounds like there is plenty of that for students that want to write and want to perhaps do this professionally.
Yes.
How many students typically are you seeing as it relates to putting the Mirror News together, the newspaper itself? How many editions go out each year, and where can we get it for those of us that maybe aren't writing for it, but we want to support it in different ways, maybe by reading what's happening on our campus?
I'm so glad you mentioned that. So we deliver to newsstands throughout the campus and all the major buildings. So usually they're by entranceways. So take a look to see if there's a newsstand there. We also are willing, if there's enough requests, to move a newsstand if certain areas would like to have it delivered. We also deliver directly to faculty and staff mailboxes, and department mailboxes that we've implemented just in the last couple of years. And then we also have an online edition. So if you weren't able to catch the print edition, you can definitely catch the online edition, which also has some original content. What else did you ask me about?
Just like how many people does it take? Like how many people does it take to change a light bulb? How about to run the Mirror News? How many students at any given time do you have working on it?
So we generally speaking have between 12 and as many as we've had as many as 24. And that includes freelancers, volunteers, the staff positions, co-ops. Any one of those levels of opportunity for students, you'll get real hands-on experience learning how to work in a newspaper environment, how to put together a story, how to do interviews. And these skills often translate to other types of professions as well, not just in journalism.
Do you find that most of the students coming through in the journalism area want to be professional writers in some regard?
Yes, absolutely. And they definitely want to hone their craft. So maybe they're not thinking about working for a newspaper per se, but they definitely see the benefits of learning these skills and how they can adapt these skills to whatever field they want to go into.
I teach an intro to telecommunication class, which is like media studies and how communication started all the way up to today, with global media and so on. And one of the questions in chapter 4 that we get into is about newspapers. And are newspapers a dying breed? Are they coming back? What's happening? And I ask the students to sort of talk about how and where they get their news from, and if there is a traditional or online newspaper involved in their family dynamic in any way, shape, or form. And overwhelmingly, the responses that I get back are something like this. Well, my parents read the newspaper. I watch them. They flip through the physical paper in the morning when they're having breakfast or whatever. But I haven't touched a print newspaper in my life, but I get the news online, or I use the online component of newspapers. I'm so glad here at Henry Ford that we have incorporated this online component, really the new generation of news gatherers, I suppose. But what is your take in the industry here on the role of the newspaper in a community, in our local community, or even bigger, in our community at large?
I often hear that myself, also from students. So there is this general feeling that newspapers are kind of a dying breed, at least the print editions are. And there's a little bit of truth to that. It's definitely an industry that's in transformation. The delivery mechanisms are changing as more of us are dependent on mobile devices. That has become now the medium of choice for many students, where they get their information. And so both the online as well as kind of social media has kind of helped to transform the industry. But with newspapers, there is something to be said about the process of putting together a print edition. Some of these skills that the students achieve by putting together that product translates in so many different ways to skills that they can use in other areas. And as far as print editions go, one of the niche markets that is still very much alive and still breathing is the campus environment. So oftentimes that is the place where students and faculty and staff, that's where they do get much of the news, much of the information. And what's interesting about our production here at Henry Ford College is that the students get to do news writing and kind of features and types of stories that they might see in a professional publication. They're not restricted in the way that it's been designed. So they can go after stories that they think might be read by a much wider audience. And that's kind of the goal. It's really interesting. A former staff member of the paper who's attending U of M Dearborn now came back to say, you know, the U of M Dearborn Michigan Journal is actually starting to look like our paper now. it used to be that it had more campus ads than stories, but now it's becoming much meatier. The stories are more in-depth. And that kind of, I think, reflects the type of production that we have here at the campus and why the students are so proud of it. Is because that's kind of what we've been able to achieve, is that they get those kind of in-depth storytelling opportunities through our program and through the print production of the paper. And it's something to be said that they can take this and have it as part of their portfolios and their resumes and have a physical product to show for all their hard work. So I guess it's a long roundabout way to say that, yes, print production is in transformation, but in some ways it's very much needed and very much part still of the landscape of news production overall.
Well, that speaks very highly to our administration as well. And I know we have a charter, constitutional charter with the Mirror News. I sit as you do in some capacity on the Mirror News board. But not every school can say that their administration is a hands-off one, that this is a student run, a student coordinated paper, and really what a nice opportunity. It's just got to make it more interesting for the students, and I hear that, and I'm sure you do too. It's like, wow, we can do anything we want, like really. But with that, and here's the other side of it, I think a couple of key components of working in collaboration with other journalists and with a team, the concept of teamwork, learning how to work together to put out this physical product, and ultimately the concept of making ethical choices. That's another thing, as you know, our listeners know, we talk a lot about different things going on in the news on this show, local news especially. It's a local news and views program, but there's a lot of crazy stuff out there, and some of it isn't even true. But students learning that skill set, it's not only going to help them as they work on this particular project right in front of them, but hopefully become life lessons that they can apply to different things that they're doing do you find that to be an important component of what you teach in these courses?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, for many students, it's one of their one of the things that they often come back with is like how well the newspaper experience kind of helped them really make these kinds of choices, understand the research involved, understand getting balanced points of view, understand getting multiple points of view before coming to any kind of conclusion. So, yes, these are definitely insights that they achieve through the program, very much one of the hallmarks of what we're trying to achieve with not just the Mirror News, but the overall journalism certificate, is to give students these abilities to be very well-informed citizens, able to make really balanced and well-informed decisions, you know, whether it's for their own careers or their own, choices that they make, also to be able to respond to things that are happening around them and to understand the things that are happening around them. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. I'm glad that you asked about that. Yeah.
Well, Dr. Peter Kim is joining me today, and we're talking about the Mirror News, our newspaper here on the campus of Henry Ford College, as well as the journalism certificate. Now, there are some individual journalism courses that someone coming in that might be interested in learning about this field can take, and then it kind of gets a little bit more substantial, I suppose, as the courses get higher and higher in number. One of the classes is in the telecommunication area, and that's the broadcast journalism class. That's a part of the journalism certificate. And to our regular listeners of WHFR, you get to hear our students performing actual newscasts that they have written. And thank you for understanding that they are students in training. But we get good feedback from the community saying we like the student approach to some of the things going on. And it's the same thing with the newspaper as well, both online and print. But in reference to sort of opportunities for our community to get involved, short of reading the paper, and if we have a business owner, Pete, that might want a newsstand with some Mirror newspapers, can we Can we possibly do that? And also, what about the potential for advertising to support the paper?
Oh, absolutely. We very much appreciate advertising. Primarily, we get other colleges that advertise with us, but occasionally we do get local businesses that are very much interested. We do offer a number of ad packages. If you do multiple ads, we'll also include a banner or sidebar ad on the website as part of that package. If a business wants to just advertise in one issue, we're more than happy to accommodate that. We have quarter page, half page, full page rates. We try to be as competitive as we can, but we often are willing to offer discounts if it's something that the business is looking for and that works out for both parties. We're more than happy to accommodate that as well. And thank you for asking about that. We are trying as much as we can to give the students a really nice platform, you know, to showcase their work and their talents. And advertising is definitely part of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the paper looks beautiful as well. Now, we might have a listener that went to Henry Ford College, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, and maybe it was, what was the newspaper called before it was the Mirror? I'm trying to remember. The Ford Estate. Yeah, maybe it was the Ford Estate that they used to read or contribute to. Mm-hmm. So just brief description of the makeup of this newspaper for a listener that has just no idea of what to expect, because there are some really good student newspapers out there, and then there are some that are they're not so good. So just what would somebody see if they sort of, you know, stumbled through the newspaper, the latest edition, for example? And I didn't bring one. I should have brought one in. I have one in my office, but just tell us a little bit about it.
So the emphasis of the paper is to go local out. So we start with the campus. The students kind of investigate to see if there's brewing stories that they want to get some in-depth coverage on. And then after that comes the community. So they look in Dearborn Heights, Metro Detroit. And then they go state, and then they go national. So oftentimes that's the news area. Then we also have sports coverage. And thankfully, I know Josh Abir also has contributed to WHFR. And so he's been an excellent sports editor for the past several semesters, has really elevated the quality of the sports section and the coverage for campus sports. But he also does, as I had mentioned, local and statewide sports. Then we have a very popular section. It's our arts and culture section. The students came up with the name Kaleidoscope, so it's a wonderful name. They get to include some arts and great photography, and they really get to work on the whole spread of this particular section, and they just do a wonderful job. And that tends to be the section that gets the most awards often. And then we also have reviews, so students get to have an opportunity to try their hand at reviewing any number of topics, from TV shows to you know, streaming shows now, movies, of course, albums, you know, bands that they like. So it's a great opportunity for them to use those skills. And then, of course, our ever-popular opinion section. So the students also do the artwork and the graphics. So they have created a campus calendar in the back page. So the graphic arts students do a wonderful job with that. And then the graphic arts students also work on the cover. So from cover, literally from cover to back page, the entire product is completely student-created. And then we also have a student that helps to recruit advertisers and then works with them to try to, you know, get them placed. So it's an overall wonderful student publication and a good kind of showcase of all these different talents that our students have.
Wonderful opportunity, and certainly due in large part to your guidance and leadership, and we're grateful for that, as well as our own student activities director, Cassandra Fluker, and Jason Davis, mm-hmm. and so many wonderful people supporting the paper, and the students especially. We often have people in academia that listen to this program because they want to know what's going on our campus, and we, like I said, try to focus on very local issues. If there's a former journalist listening or a TV person or something, you're interested maybe in having them reach out to you to say, I could come and talk in your class one day, or come in as a guest or answer questions, something like that?
Oh, we would love that. In fact, we're often looking for guest speakers for the journalism classes, as well as workshopping with the students in the paper, in the Mirror News. We also are members of the Michigan Community College Press Association, so we're also always looking for judges. Nice. So under number one of those opportunities for professionals who would like to assist the students and helping them become part of the field as well, that'd be great. Yeah.
And where can someone reach out to connect with you directly, Pete?
They can connect with me through email is probably the best. So pkim@hfcc.edu. I'm available also on the college website. And then if you pick up any issue of the Mirror News, you can get the contact information there.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, congratulations on a wonderful season and just a wonderful run and all of those great awards that were earned this year. And we have to say a shout out to your editor-in-chief. Congratulations to Fatima for her amazing award, you know, recipient of the editor of the year. I mean, that's incredible. So you must be very proud.
We are very, very proud. And to her credit, the paper itself, the atmosphere of it, has been just a joy to be in. The entire atmosphere of the newsroom, a very professional and courteous, very positive environment. So students coming in very much get that vibe. And we have a great many students who have volunteered because of that. They want to become part of this thing. And I think it's in large part due to the leadership of the paper. So definitely hats off to Fatima.
Great. Last question. When will the next new edition of the Mirror News be coming out?
The students get to do what we call our special spring edition. So that'll come out June 18th. So it'll be on newsstands then, also delivered to the mailboxes. We also often work with admissions to have them provided to incoming freshmen or incoming students. So look for that in June.
Great information, Pete. Thank you so much and congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Susan.
All right. We've got more to come. Stay with us. This is the new WHFR Journal.
Revenge!
Do you like movies? Do you like music? Do you like movie and music together? Then join us every Wednesday on Soundtrack City from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Let us come into your homes and your cars and help be the soundtrack of your life. Right here on WHFR 89.3.
Ambient. Experimental. Avant. Music concrete. And noise. Hi, I'm Scott Boatwright. Every Thursdays from 12 until 2 p.m., I bring you Sounds from the Corridor. From the quiet and relaxing to the loud and unsettling. I play sounds in the abstract on WHFR 89.3 FM, www.whfr.fm on the internet. That's Sounds from the Corridor every Thursdays from noon until 2 p.m. Only on the station making waves, WHFR Dearborn.
Welcome back. This is the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw and Josh Hebert, as we're going to talk some sports in this segment. But just one thing I want to let you know about going on in the community, and this comes to us courtesy of the city of Dearborn, is that, now that we think officially, more or less, the weather seems good enough that maybe we can start to think about planting our gardens for spring. I know it's been a long delayed arrival of spring, and I think we're finally here. But this is a program going on with the city of Dearborn, which is a 50-50 cost share program for sustainable lawns. It deals with rain gardens, what are called rain gardens. Dearborn homeowners can enhance their property in an environmentally friendly way that benefits the community with the help from the city's new Green Infrastructure Grant. It's a grant that reimburses 50% of a homeowner's cost of creating a rain garden It maxes out at $1,000 awarded to the homeowner as long as you meet the eligibility requirements and restrictions which apply to it. The thinking is that rain gardens are great for the health of the Rouge River watershed, and they provide natural filtration processes and remediation of storm water. The application process started back in mid-April when I think we still had snow on the ground and nobody was thinking about planting a garden. However, grants will be approved if they meet the criteria on a first-come, first-served basis while funding is still available. Applicants for the program need to know that architect fees are not included in the grant. Your own personal labor for putting the garden in is not considered, but construction labor costs from an approved contractor is allowed. Rain gardens do not include vegetable plants, so you can't sort of tie this into your vegetable garden for the summer. And purchase receipts for materials are reviewed according to the city's own auditing process. You can go to cityofdearborn.org for more information and install your own rain garden, which will filter runoff pollution, recharge local groundwater, conserve water, improve water quality, protect rivers and streams, reduce mosquito breeding, which we're going to be thinking about in a couple of months, and so much more. Once again, cityofdearborn.org for the rain garden 50-50 cost share program, which is made possible by a grant for sustainable lawns. All right, so we talked about that, and we've had our share of rain that has managed to affect the schedules of both the baseball and the softball teams here at HFC. Josh Hebert joining us for sports here on the new WHFR Journal.
Thanks for having me again there, Alan, Susan. But yeah, the weather we've had this spring has been pretty awful. Rain, cold. Baseball team's really not able to get into the full swing of everything, but that's springtime in Michigan.
It is indeed. And both of the teams have had their successes.
Yeah.
I'm sure the coaches will admit that they've learned a lot, they've improved a lot, that they've gotten better over the course of the season. Some of the highlights from the baseball team.
They were able to go out to Willie Horton Field.
Michigan and Trumbull.
Yeah, the corner of Michigan and Trumbull, where old Tiger Stadium used to be. They were able to go out there, win a game. So, I mean, that's a success for them.
If you got something to hang your hat on, that would be one that's good to do. And we've had a good run. I mean, obviously, with the roller hockey team, with the basketball team. With the wrestling team as well, but also...
golf.
Golf.
Golf may not be that popular to some of the people listening here to the journal, but HFC does have a golf team, and one of our own is making it to... the NJCAA Golf Regionals after having three good rounds at the MCCAA Championships.
I'm sure that all means, those are meaningful for the people in the conferences
and the league that we are in. So, I mean, congrats to the golf team on having a player qualify for regionals there.
Do we know when those regionals take place?
I do not personally. Okay. Not online at HFC, but I'm sure you can find them if you go through the MCCAA website there.
Awesome. And obviously we wish them well.
Yeah. And then...
Go ahead.
Also, not HFC, but close enough, Madonna University baseball team won the WAC championships, so congrats to them.
That's the Wolverine Hoosier Athletic Conference,
yes.
NAIA, which has teams from Michigan, Indiana, and I think Ohio as well. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, University of Michigan Dearborn right next door, and they're in that conference.
Mm-hmm.
First year in that program for the baseball team.
Excellent. So, well, we look forward to great things coming up over the course of the next few months when fall sports start get going back up. So
football gets started here in a little bit, so let's get ready for that.
Indeed. All right. Thanks, Josh, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
To talk to you, and have a great summer. This will probably be one of the last times we chat, because unless our golfer has a great run,
our golfer.
We'll,
Let's go golf.
There we go. I was going to say.
Pick it up.
If that happens, we will definitely have you back. All right. This is the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. Thanks so much for being with us. One other thing I want to mention, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, if I remember correctly, when we had a representative from the Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit on the program, is looks like we're going to have some pretty decent weather tomorrow for the 13th annual Mutt Strut Walk and Run, which takes place tomorrow at Ford Field Park in Dearborn, there on Cherry Hill. The 5K run starts at 8 o'clock. The walk begins at 10 o'clock. And we'll have 25 exhibitors, food trucks, feature fun shopping, demonstrations, entertainment, and contests and games for pets and their people in the Doggy Fun Zone. You know, it's always nice for us grown-ups to be able to get out there and enjoy the spring weather, but it's also wonderful to be able to let your pets enjoy the same thing. So the Mutt Strut taking place tomorrow at the Ford Field, starting at 8 o'clock with the 5K run. Hopefully your dog can run that far. I don't know if mine could, but I guess we'll find out. Anyway, for more information, FAMD Muttstrut.org. So that's Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit, FAMD, Muttstrut.org is the website to get more information. I'm Alan Mazurek. Don't go away. Actually, I've been given the keys to the car from Kitty Love. I'm going to be driving as we take a trip down Highway 61. Blues will be filling in for her from 2 to 4 this afternoon. Please stick around. I'll be right back with you in just a second. This is the new WHFR Journal here on 89.3, also at WHFR.fm, making waves.
What's up? This is James Willis, your host of the Rockmania Jukebox. Each and every Saturday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., I'll be rocking with you and the station making waves. 89.3 WHFR.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dennis Brown II. I've been doing my share of spreading the word about autism awareness for the past few years. I'm passionate about it because I myself was diagnosed with it as a teenager. In 2014, the number of kids being diagnosed with autism was 1 in 68. The Centers for Disease Control now says that figure has climbed to an estimated 1 in 59. That's an increase of 15% and an overall increase of 64% since the year 2000. Boys are four times more likely to be diagnosed with autism than girls. White children are more likely to be diagnosed with it than minority children. Most children are still diagnosed as early as 4 years old. About 50,000 teens with autism are expected to age out of school-based support programs annually. Autism Speaks has information on this and more. Log on to AutismSpeaks.org or call 888-AUTISM2. That's 888-288-4762. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
Time. That's where my